Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. As I mentioned, I was in Sweden for a week, had a wonderful time, met some interesting people there. And I want to tell you a little bit about that place and some people that I met. The Gamla Stan is strategically positioned where Lake Mälaren gives up its fresh water to the Baltic Sea. It's just one of thousands of tiny islands in the Swedish archipelago. But that's where the commonality ends. Gamla Stan, which means Old Town, is where Sweden's historic capital city, Stockholm, came to be in 1252. Today it holds many of the rich treasures and fascinating stories of this important Scandinavian country's history, like the Royal Castle, the Nobel Museum, and a square where 100-odd noblemen were assassinated by King Christian II of Denmark in the Stockholm bloodbath of 1520. This story is set in the basement of one of the beautiful multi-story buildings in the heart of Gamla Stan. Built in 1535, the property first rose to prominence as the home of Count von der Linden in the 1630s. To be more accurate, this basement is actually where the Swede is actually what the Swedes call a valvén, which means vaulted space. And the one in this building is the last remaining true medieval treasure wells in Gamla Stan. This space has been many things over the centuries, from the important, a wine cellar for nobility, including one of Sweden's most famous monarchs, Queen Christina, to the ignoble, a damp storage space, and in the early 20th century, a milk bar, which was a kind of a corner store. More recently, this valvén has fallen on hard times, until Peter broke her foot. For over 10 years, Peter Carlson waited tables in the finest restaurants in the city. During this tenure, Petra, yes, Petra is usually a guy's name, but it turns out her parents wanted a boy. Well, Petra dreamed of one day owning one of Stockholm's finest restaurants. In time, two of her friends and sometimes co-workers, Mia Sundberg and Patrick Lang, joined Petra as dreaming partners. One of the universal markers of entrepreneurialism is how often it begins as a result of adversity. In this case, Petra broke her foot when she walked into a piece of furniture. Out of work for several weeks, she had time to contemplate pulling this restaurant thing together. If you're going to have the finest eating establishment in a city known internationally for its eating establishments, you must have location. A little history doesn't hurt. And of course, you must have exquisite food and the best service. The last two, Petra knew she and her partners could handle. The first two would take a little work. So first on the list of things to do was to find a building. It had to be the right building, and it had to be in Gamla Stan. So when Petra and her pals saw the domed ceiling of the historic treasure well of Count von der Linden's old home, they were hooked. Starting a small business in Sweden is much like other places on planet Earth. Once you've got your plan, you need some money. And for most of us, including Petra, Mia, and Patrick, this means going to the bank. The good news is the bank said yes. And this will sound familiar. Only if they all endorse the debt personally, plus put up as collateral Pietra's apartment, Mia's summer home, and Patrick's parents' house. Banks. If there were one word that meant a curse and a blessing on you at the same time, it would be used most often in reference to banks. God bless them. Our little partnership's restaurant would have been ready to open in the spring of 2002, but that's when the Swedish government got involved. It took 16 weeks to get the government paperwork approved for this restaurant. Sound familiar? So by the time the Vander Leska Valvet restaurant opened in August, they had missed the summer tourist season. By the way, in Swedish, Valven is plural and Valvet is singular. Only a few hundred miles from the Arctic Circle, Stockholm winters are not friendly to small businesses. Fixed costs march on, but customers diminish when daylight hours drop to only a handful a day. And just when businesses started to picking up in 2003, there was a war, the one in Iraq, which cut short a promising spring momentum. Basking in the rush of Sweden's midsummer, the happiest and most prosperous time of the year in Scandinavia, the Vander Leskan Valvet restaurant was enjoying a thriving business as Pietra shared her story with me. But her brow furrowed as she was asked to talk about the challenges of sustaining success in the country that is known as having the highest taxes on the planet. Is Vander Leskan Valvet profitable? Not yet. Pietra said perhaps by the fifth year, which will coincide with when the partners plan to be known as one of the top restaurants in Stockholm. Why the long road to profitability? Well, rent isn't cheap in Gamlestaden, and the best services require the best staff. Also, food at the Vander Leska Valvet is prepared only from the finest ingredients. These expenses are comparable to, I would say, to Manhattan in New York City, the French Quarter in New Orleans, or Georgetown in Washington, D.C. But customers expect to pay more for goods and services in the place to be in a city. And a well-run business should be able to pass along high fixed costs in their pricing. So where's the rub? Why so long to profitability? Taxes. Another Swedish small business owner, Thomas Stenberg, who reps for a U.S. technology company in Scandinavia, says in Sweden, if you make less than $3,000 a month, your personal income tax rate is 30%, under $3,000 a month. Once you exceed that monthly income, the personal income tax rate jumps to 52%. That's right, folks. 5-2 over $3,000 a month. As I said, Sweden is taxed. The Swedes are taxed more than anybody on the planet. We've got some more things to tell you about this when we come back after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Gonna take a freight train. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. I'm telling you about my trip to Sweden and what I found there. One of the things I was just saying as we went to the break was that if you make over $36,000 a year, your tax rate is 52%. Your personal income tax rate is 52% in Sweden. In the United States, payroll taxes, the ones that provide our social net like Social Security and Medicare, is 15.3%, which, as you know, is split down the middle between the employer and the employee. Of course, if you're self-employed, you pay it all. You know about that, too. But in Sweden, that 15.3% is 32%, double, and the employer pays it all. And to add insult to injury, the amount contributed by the employer on behalf of the employee into the social fund over there is not even allowed to be recognized on the employee's pay stub. You can't even show the employee what you're putting in for them. It gets worse. Americans know about sales tax, which is usually, as you know, in the single digits. Your state and local sales tax in a lot of states is 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe even 9%. In Sweden, they have something called a VAT tax, value added tax, which Thomas Stenberg says ranges from 12 to 25%. Most things, and I paid this tax on some things, are taxed at the higher level, at the 25% level. Petra says she pays 25% VAT for her food ingredients, but collects 21% from her customers on the purchase of the food. When Petra's legal entity, whatever it is, I don't know if it's a corporation or not, when it becomes profitable, Thomas says the profits that she makes will be subject to a business income tax of another 32%. And if you drive a company vehicle where there's a tax on that perk, and an additional one if it's a luxury car like the Mercedes that Thomas drives. Now, this brief tour of the taxes in Sweden is by no means comprehensive. In fact, Thomas kept thinking of other taxes as we were talking that I didn't write all of them down. Admittedly, I've only listed the high spots just for dramatic effect. And it wouldn't be fair to list the taxes without mentioning the return on this investment. The virtual cradle-to-grave social system in Sweden includes education for all through college, a single-payer universal health care system, and the infrastructure that I saw, the buildings, the roads, the public buildings, the roads, and the countryside were all well-developed and maintained. Clearly, Sweden's extreme socialistic policies require extreme funding. But taxes and regulations are the enemy of entrepreneurs. And those I talked with are fed up with the high tax base. Universal health care in Sweden means waiting 8 hours in the emergency room to get a cut finger stitched, and 3 months to see a doctor just for a checkup. Petra reported that crime went up recently in Stockholm when the government decided to quit funding an asylum, which resulted in the release of several thousand mentally ill patients into the street. International research has shown that there's a direct connection between the level of new business startups and a country's economic health. But Petra and Thomas will testify that the high tax base in Sweden does not encourage their risk-taking. With this level of overbearing tax burden, how competitive can Sweden be in the entrepreneurial 21st century? All three Vanderleska Valvet partners work a shift in the operation of the restaurant. They wait tables, they do whatever has to be done. They do have a couple of other employees. The chefs are employees. Plus, Mia does the paperwork and the accounting, and Petra is in charge of the marketing. What was their biggest surprise when they opened their business? Petra says it was having to do PR to get customers to come in the door. What's the most frightening part of being a small business owner? Petra says it was being open on long winter nights with no customers. Petra was asked, if the government lowered your taxes, would you give yourself a raise or invest the money in the business? Without even a moment's hesitation, Petra said, she answered the way I believe 99% of all entrepreneurs would answer, and with the way 99% of all entrepreneurs that I have asked this question of has answered. She said, immediately, I'd invest it in my business. After a year and a half, knowing what she knows now, Petra was asked, would you do it again? Again, without any hesitation, Petra said, absolutely. It's better to work for yourself. Write this on a rock, folks. Entrepreneurs are emerging around the world in the 21st century. Governments would do well to get out of their way and help them flourish. As you know, I've spent 2 weeks in Europe in the last year. Some of you know that. And I've talked to entrepreneurs every time I've gone overseas. And they all say the same thing as Petra. Get out of my way, let me take some risks, and I'll help you grow this economy. And I don't know how long it's going to take Europe and Japan to get that, but the moment they do, as soon as they do, their countries and the world economy will be better for it. Governments would do well to get out of the way of entrepreneurs and help them flourish. 29 after, stay with me. I'll be right back with our good friend Robert Dylan Schneider, the author of 50 Plus. Stay with us. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot. I don't feel so-
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.